Hi, the following program is an encore presentation in loving memory of our co-founder and co-host, Dr. John Palmer. We thank everyone for your contributions to help keep Dr. Palmer's legacy alive and to keep the radio show going. Every penny of your contribution is tax deductible and will go strictly to paying the radio station so that we can continue with Dr. John Palmer's legacy.
Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
You are now listening to the number one show on WGBB, live from WGGB. It's now time for...
Listen up, Jesus is on the air. It's WGBB.
Oh. That's what I said.
No, you didn't. I'll play it back. You said WGGGG.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's WGBB.
Okay, and what's this
and
number
that
one
that was
stuff?
Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we are breaking news.
Breaking news. What's number one?
We are the number one show on WGGB in listenership. WGBB. Am I saying it right?
You're making me nervous.
Okay. Something wrong with me. I'm getting old. Okay, so we have a great guest for us. Why don't you introduce the guest, John?
Well, before that, I don't believe that we're number one. So I'm going to ask listeners, would you please raise your hand so I can count? One, two...
Four.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes us number one. We got four listeners. Everybody, thank you. Thank you for making us number one.
Okay, so the breaking news is we really are the number one show on WGBB. It was broken to us last week, and they told us that out of a private survey, we came out by far the top listening show.
Well, let's not let it go to your head.
Well, it is.
You know, I'm very humble, so I don't go for numbers.
Let me practice again. WGBB. How am I doing?
I think we better get to the radio show
before we lose
our listeners.
Get our guest.
Why don't you introduce the guest since you found him?
Well, okay. The guest is Steve Spitalari. Is that how you say your name?
Yep.
And Steve is just made his confirmation at St. Catherine's doing Easter Vigil. And I just was very impressed. He did a talk at the at the end of the service, and it was a spiritual talk that touched my heart. So I ran after him, and I broke through the crowd that was surrounding him, and I asked him to be on the radio show, and here
Good.
He is. Good. So tell us a little something
about
yourself,
Steve. Well,
welcome, Steve.
We're very happy to see you, and we've been chatting for the past half hour.
Thanks for having me here. It was just a great experience to come back to church about a year and a half ago. I made this commitment to come back to church. I had this great yearning to come back, and for whatever reason, you know, God had led me to come back to church and to shine my light onto others. As a child, I think we all have opportunities to go to church. We have no choice, really. Mom and dad drag you to go to church, you know. If you're lucky enough, you know, you got breakfast that came along with a great, we had a great Russian Jewish bakery where I grew up. So along on the way home where I'd, we would, you know, pick up a bunch of goodies. But, you know, it's just been a great sense of community coming back to church.
What made you go away? What happened?
I don't know. I think we get caught up in our own lives, and just...
It happens to everybody, so don't
feel...
Yes,
it happened to me. Better question, what made you come back?
I think it was just a yearning. I just had a really great yearning inside to come back to church. And, you know, each time that I would go back to church, I would hear something that I needed to hear. There would be something in the gospel that would touch my heart and said, you know what, I needed to hear that. And I think what was great tool for me is I did each time, and I still do, I bring my little book with me, and I take notes. I think probably the greatest compliment you can give to a priest is, you know, while he's reading his gospel, that you could take a minute or two and take notes of the gospel. And so you could further comprehend what is being said at Mass. You know, you can go home and just kind of like really kind of, you know, meditate, if you will, a little bit on it.
That's a very good tip.
Yeah. And that was helpful to me. And that, you know, sometimes there are things, you know, whether it's scriptures that you could kind of refer back to if you didn't, you know, happen to catch it at Mass. But, you know, there'd be things, you know, maybe dates or things that the priest may, you know, talk about that you just may forget and, you know, and say, geez, you know, I missed an opportunity to, you know, learn something additional, you know, about the church. And I think that was it too. You know, I think I wanted to get closer to God. And I think in order for me to do that was not only just go back to church, but also understand my faith. I think I wasn't really, not that I wasn't getting it, but, you know, there's so much to learn. I mean, let's be brutally honest. The Bible is a little intimidating. And if you don't really have a chance to, you know, if you're not exposed to it and you're not, you know, talking and you know, sharing exactly what you're reading.
Absolutely.
You're not going
to
get
guide.
It.
It's our guide for living. It's God's guide telling us how he wants us to lead our lives.
You know what it's called? Basic information.
Yes.
Before leaving earth. Yes. B-I-B-L-E. And it is.
Wow. Yeah.
I needed
to do that.
How has it changed your life? Or has it changed your life? By getting closer to God, getting closer to Jesus, talking to him.
Well, I think, you know, number one, I wanted my son to have an opportunity to have faith in his life. And in order for me to have, you know, my son have faith, I had to lead by example, right? And he, you know, loved it. You know, every time I would come home from Mass and I have the bulletin in my hand, he would rip it out of my hand to see, you know, really what's going on. Because, you know, our church at St. Catherine's of Siena has a, you know, their bulletin is a chock full of information of things.
In-depth, yes.
Very in-depth of stuff that's going on. And I'm sure every church has their bulletin that they could, you know, find whatever it is that you're searching for. And if you can't find it there's somebody that could help you.
Sure.
You know,
how did you get into the RCIA?
I had I guess it was just my timing. I guess the RCIA starts usually around September.
That's the catechism program for adults.
Right, the rite of Christian
initiation
of adults. And so what I was finding is that this program for adults who want to increase their Catholic faith way of life, their opportunity to receive their baptism, their communion, their confirmation. And, you know, what you learn is the proclamation of the word. You know, there's a deepening awareness and understanding to reflect on the scripture. You want to, so for me, I was searching for is how am I going to, because it was my intention to, I don't want to say it's impossible to really live like Jesus, but you want to live a little bit more like him, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And
and it's a year-long program that you go to, isn't it?
Yes, the program is 6-7 months. And you learn really a little bit about the Bible. You learn a little bit about the commandments. You understand the sacraments and the importance of the sacraments. And I think that was one of the reasons why I did make my confirmation was I wanted, again, to be closer to God by fulfilling my sacraments. And that was making my confirmation. And everybody said, well, how did you get married? You're not supposed to get married if you didn't make your confirmation, you liar. I found out that you don't have to make your confirmation to get married. That's a fallacy. You can get married without making your confirmation. So, it was never asked of me, so I didn't provide that information at the time when I got married. So, you know, but a lot of people do think that you're not supposed to get married if you don't make a confirmation.
Yes,
but that is one of the sacraments. That is
not
necessary.
You were married in a Catholic church.
I married a Catholic church, and my son was baptized in a Catholic church. And still, you know, after those opportunities of being in church, that I really still didn't, you know, follow through the years. I'll be married 25 years, and I guess in those 25 years, you know, we brought the family to church maybe a handful of times. And, you know, it's unfortunate because it's just been such a great sense of community, you know, coming back to church. So this was a beautiful experience, you know, making my confirmation at the Easter Vigil at St. Catherine's.
It's very impressive.
It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
And, you know,
ceremony.
God's timing is perfect. You were ripe for the RCIA program. You were ripe to be trained more fully about what your religion truly is. And certainly when you tapped into the sacraments, how
yes.
powerful they are and life-changing
absolutely.
They can be. Reconciliation, Eucharist, confirmation lights up that spirit in you.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about reconciliation and, you know, really just bearing your soul and just, you know, saying this is, you know, this is the truths. These are my secrets. This is, you know, where I've been, what I've done, and kind of releasing that. And I think a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, when they make the reconciliation, that you're releasing that.
Absolutely.
You're giving that up. You're surrendering all of that.
And some people have trouble saying, I'm just going to a man. And
right.
you're not going to a man. You're going to a priest who's sitting in for Jesus. He's physically
absolutely.
There.
Well, I think some people also, they're afraid to share in their church because they're going to see this priest again.
Mm-hmm.
So go to another church. What's wrong with that?
You go to a different church for confession.
Right.
That's,
you go to another church. Go to another church.
You know,
church.
That's not what confession is all about.
Can I tell the story about trying to go to a different church because I didn't want to go to a priest that
yes,
I knew?
Yes, by all means. Why
I
not?
Went over to St. Aidan's in Williston Park, and I said, that's much. Not that there was anything great, but I prefer going to somebody I don't know. That's me, you know? And I'm there, and there was no priest coming for confession. And I said to the custodian, sacristan, you know, where is the father's going to be just a little late? We have a visiting priest. We do. It was my best friend, Father Damien Halligan, came in.
Smokes.
And I had to go to confession to him. And I think God was teaching me a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did your story change?
No.
Okay.
And you know, the other thing, too, people are so afraid that they have this deep, dark secret that they're going to have to reveal. And God already knows that.
Of course.
Secret.
But that's right.
Yeah.
I had a man in practice 25 years away from the church and alcoholic and now in AA. And he was so afraid to go to confession. So he got up the courage and walked in, and the first words out of his mouth were, "Father, I'm an alcoholic, and I'm an AA." And Father said, "Welcome, brother. I'm an AA, too."
Wow.
You know, God knows how to match us up.
Yes, absolutely. But, you know, I look at it this way. Whatever we confess, I think the priest has heard it all. I don't think anything is going to shock the priest or he's going to, what do you call it, because he's heard it. Probably
right.
so many times.
Of course.
You know, I know we're all a little leery about confessing our deep sins.
I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that feel guilty.
Yes.
That they don't do that, that they don't go to confession.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to do that.
But once you go, it's like a load off your back, a load off your mind,
absolutely.
A load off your shoulders. You're free.
Right.
That's because the grace of God is there. And when the priest gives you absolution, he's sharing that grace, sanctifying actual graces that remove those sins from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. Did you see what Pope Francis did this past week on his website on Twitter?
I didn't get on it this week.
He said anyone who comes on Twitter and follows him, especially during the youth conference in Brazil, I think they're
Brazil,
going to.
Yes, they're there now.
He will give them indulgences. He will give them indulgence. And then somebody said to me, well, he can't do that. I said, sure he can. He's the head of the church. Why not?
That's for me.
You know, and you say, I've signed up on Twitter. And I hope if I stay on long enough, I get what they call a plenary indulgence, and the whole slate gets wiped clean.
So could you define what you just said?
Well, the usual the teaching is that under certain conditions, a person can remove the temporal punishment due to their sin after they die, so that they don't have to remain in, we believe in purgatory, so they don't have to remain in purgatory. And it reduces, they know they're saved, reduces their time there.
Wow.
And a plenary cleans everything out. They ran into problems with that years ago because they were selling them. Well, we're not selling them at all. But, they're somewhere.
Yeah.
But it still is a teaching of the church that these indulgences can remove the punishment due to our sins during our life and time after we pass on beyond time.
And a plenary indulgence means you spend no time in purgatory. You're cleansed completely.
It's like a rocket ship.
Yes.
When you finish, you go,
There are certain things that exist today where you can gain a plenary indulgence. I do believe that if you read the Bible every day for 15 minutes or a certain period of time, you can gain a plenary indulgence.
Well, I don't know all of them, but I do know that Divine Mercy
Sunday. Divine Mercy Sunday,
if
yes.
If you
nine.
Attend or say the Chapel of Divine Mercy and go to confession, receive communion within a week before or a week after, and say prayers for the Pope, you can get a plenary indulgence.
Well,
there are certain specs where you
can.
And you know what? I try to look them up. I try doing them because I need plenary indulgence.
Well, I did it
you
this past
both.
Divine Sunday, and spiritually my soul was doing somersaults. You know, hey, look at me. Hey, wee-wee, I'm free.
I bet you were glowing. You were glowing.
Oh, yeah.
So the RCIA was just a great experience. And I pray to the Holy Spirit to guide me through the whole process and, to learn how to pray. And you have to just practice prayers and just have genuine conversation. I think that's another thing. When I pray in church, sometimes I don't know all the prayers. So I will pick up from my book. I'll pick up a prayer book. You could pick up a prayer book. There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with reading prayers for dummies. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. So if I receive communion and I run out of things that I'm, speak from my heart, speak from my mind, I'll refer to, basic prayers.
Yeah.
And start reading
and
prayers.
And the whole idea, Steve, is getting closer to Jesus.
Right.
Getting, which he wants to get so close to you. He actually wants to put his arms around you. Mm-hmm. And it allows us, what you're doing, allows him to put his arms around you
and
to get close to you.
That sacrament of the Eucharist is God's way of nourishing the Holy Spirit within us and helping us to feel even closer and want to be closer.
Yes.
Did they teach you that?
Yeah, well, I think what you want to illuminate that to other people, you want to kind of shine the light that's in your heart. I think I had a little flame in there that just got brighter and brighter, and you want to be able to shine that on somebody else and for someone to say, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
You're different. What are you doing?
That's the Holy Spirit shining in you. That's you reflecting.
And all I could say is that, I'm going to church. I'm just really getting something out of it.
Yeah.
And, I invite you. And it's not for everybody. I don't, some folks just really are not ready to go back to church. They're just kind of in their own particular place. I just tell people, force yourself, because you just might get it. You just might get something that particular day.
It's important to force yourself.
Yes.
Why not? Because you're deliberately acting in faith and taking one step closer to God. And when you do that, he takes two steps closer to you.
Right.
He welcomes you.
A priest told me that you pray to the Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
If you want to get in good with Jesus,
she'll bring you right there.
Talk to his mommy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Talk to his mommy. Because there is nothing that Jesus will refuse his mom.
Right.
Nothing. And once she you talk to her and you get to know her, she'll say, did I ever introduce you to my son? Mm. And she'll bring you right to him.
So I did a lot of that, you know, just asked the Blessed Mother to, you know, lead me to him.
And it's a slow process, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just something that
I'm still, there's so much I have to learn. Sure. There really is so much I have to learn, and I will continue to learn.
I got a question. There undoubtedly are, you know, we now have a lot of listeners, so there must be listeners. There are listeners out there that are.
But we encourage them to get a life.
We are number one, you know. But in any event, there are listeners out there that are borderline. They're like, they want to come back. They're a little afraid. They're a little lazy. They're a little, you know, tempted to doing it. What's your advice to them?
Well, here's a great, right now is, you know, it's so hot outside. Take advantage of the air conditioning.
right. and the air conditioning is great in the church, in most churches.
Yes, I would take advantage of that. And, you know, listen, you never know, you know, you never know, because you're just going to hear what you want to hear, you know, or you just may see something that you needed to see.
You had some booklets that were useful to you.
Yes.
Maybe you could mention them for our listeners.
Sure. Well, there was, you know, quite a few things, you know, that I needed to help me. And, you know, I had a couple of books. One of them is called True Confessions. And the author is Linda Schubert. You can get them online. And they're prayers to heal the secrets in your soul. And I wanted to read.
Mention that name of that booklet again.
Sure. It's True Confessions. Prayers to Hear the Secrets in Your Soul by Linda Schubert.
Right.
And, you know, the book, I'm a lazy reader. I'm not going to cherry coat it. Sugarcoat it. But, you know, when you have a book that's 30 pages, 35 pages, and it's an easy read, you're going to read it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and especially when you really get something out of it. And, you know, so this is on page 7 from this book. It's when you're in pain. And what does the pain feel like? Hurting, hopeless, beyond recovery, incurable, miserable. You're fatally ill, anguished, inconsolable, brokenhearted, traumatized, sick, suicidal, afflicted, defeated, distressed, tortured, desperate, tormented, in a sea of pain, despondent, or in the depths of despair. What else?
Sounds like me as I walk through the day. Look at all that stuff going on.
So what she recommends is invite the Holy Spirit into the pain. Father God, in humble trust, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit into this pain and my earliest experience of pain. What do you want me to understand about the pain? What do you want me to heal? I give you permission to heal me. Help me acknowledge the feelings and respond in ways that please you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then there's a scripture reflection. And, you know, it goes on to, you know, very simple, concrete things that you could do to, you know, help yourself when you're experiencing physical pain as well.
And she goes all through emotional pain, abandonment, fear, anxiety. She takes about, I don't know how many chapters it is, but she goes through each one.
Yeah, I mean.
What is it? And what? How do you invite the spirit in? And then she relates it to scripture. It's really a nice way to grow.
Yeah, I mean, bring your feelings to God. You know, I'm not very brave about this pain, God. And then you could name your specific pain. I feel like the person in the Bible bent over and unable to straighten up. In humble thirst, I repent of anything I have done to offend you and ask your forgiveness. Help me to face the pain with my eyes on you. Thank you for your persistent love. In Jesus' name I pray. I mean, these are, you know.
It makes Jesus so personal.
Yes.
It's like you're talking to a friend. And that's the beauty of that booklet and the others that she has done. And
yes,
have a couple
the
of
other
others.
One, yeah, the other one is The Miracle Hour. And
this
is also
Schubert
by
again.
Linda Schubert, yes. And it's a method of prayer that'll change your life. And one passage that I did want to read from this is about forgiveness. This is a big one, wouldn't you say?
I'll say it's a big one. We don't know every day.
It's at the core of all healing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, so there's so much on this, in this chapter about forgiveness. And, you know, it's just...
And they have
touches on so many things.
They have a forgiveness prayer in there that brings, written by Father de Grandis Whitlander, and the forgiveness prayer brings up any possible person or person who could have hurt you.
Yes,
And what they advise, what Father de Grandis advises, spend 30 days with that prayer and keep a paper and pencil next to you. And then as the people come into your mind, you write them down.
Yes.
And then you forgive them.
Well, what's so great about how Linda wrote this is that it's very concrete.
Yeah.
And I'll just quickly read, you know, loving Father, I choose to forgive everyone in my life, including myself, because you have forgiven me. Thank you, Lord, for this grace. I forgive myself for all my sins, faults, and failings. Especially, and then you can name that person. I forgive myself for not being perfect. I accept myself and make a decision to stop picking on myself and being my own worst enemy. I release the things held against myself, free myself from bondage, and make peace with myself today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, she goes into, I forgive my mother. And then you go into a whole thing for whatever. I forgive my father. I forgive my spouse. I forgive my children. I forgive my sisters, my brothers, my ancestors, my teacher.
The postman. Well, remember that one in there.
My dog.
That's total forgiveness. And it's great. But there's another side to this.
What's that?
That troubles me. Because I know somehow or other I do offend people.
Yes. I want to confirm that.
See, he confirms that. The question is, how do I get those people to forgive me, the sinner, the one that has offended them? I've searched for that.
Right.
And I'm trying to come up with that answer.
You change your way of living, and you change your way of reacting to people, and you ask for the grace to do that. As far as those I've heard in my life, my list is longer than anyone's. And I just say, well, Lord, I have to leave their forgiveness of me to you.
And that's what I've done. I've asked Jesus to soften their hearts. I've asked Jesus to let them extend forgiveness. I put it into the hands of Jesus. Now I'm going to do this. I'm going to go out on the public airwaves, and I'm going to say, all those that I have offended, all those that I have done anything to harm, I beg your forgiveness. Amen.
But the only thing wrong with that is they're probably not listening. They can't stand you.
Probably.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Let's move on.
You give me an opening. How could I resist hitting you? Would you forgive me for that?
Yes, I will.
Another thing is the Everyday Catholic Prayers by Robert de Grandis.
Father de Grandis, sure.
Uh-huh. Mm. And
he also has a wonderful book on healing through the Eucharist.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful book talking about how just going to Mass and communion each day helps you to change internally. We don't know how.
Well,
we don't understand, but we change.
Another helpful tool is meditating. And
man after my own heart.
How do you learn how to meditate, right? You practice.
Like everything else, yeah.
You got to practice. Yeah. And, you know, rosary is a form of meditation. And, you know, that's something I'm still learning. I sit there with a book. Is there anything wrong with that,
Not
Tony?
At all. No.
I sit there with a book and I read from the book. And I have my rosaries,
wonderful.
And I'm learning how to do the rosary.
That's wonderful.
You have to learn somewhere, right?
Yes.
From somewhere, I mean.
The rosary is the most powerful weapon anyone can ever have. It's 50 rounds of love and prayer directly to the Blessed Mother. And it's powerful. So I encourage everyone to say the rosary. If you notice, I do a lot of things. I have the rosary around my hand. The reason why I do that, people have asked me on TV, how come you're sitting there with the rosary in your hand? Because I made a deal with the Blessed Mother that she would hold my hand and I would hold the rosary when I do things. Wow. That's why I do it.
You know, there are some
and that's a reminder.
And that's a reminder, yes.
And there are some people who don't believe that God really thirsts for us and really wants to be with us.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
You brought, Steve, you brought this wonderful meditation from Mother Teresa on thinking about how God really thirsts for us. So why don't we just take a moment and very quietly, audience, get into a comfortable position. Close your eyes if you want. Breathe slowly and listen so that you can hear what Mother Teresa meditated on frequently. The prayer was written by Father Joseph Langford, co-founder of Mother Teresa's priest community. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's true. I stand at the door of your heart day and night. Even when you are not listening, even when you doubt it, it could be me. I am there. I await even the smallest sign of your response, even the least whispered invitation that will open you and allow me to enter. And I want you to know that whenever you invite me, I do come. Always, without fail. Silent and unseen I come, but with infinite power and love and bringing the many gifts of my spirit. I come with my mercy, with my desire to forgive and heal you, and with a love for you beyond your comprehension. A love every bit as great as the love I have received from the Father. As much as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. I come longing to console you and give you strength to lift you up and bind all your wounds. I bring you my light to dispel your darkness and all your doubts. Come with my power that I might carry you and all of your burdens with my grace to touch your heart and transform your life. And my peace I give to still your soul. And it goes on. I know you through and through. I know everything about you. The very hairs of your head I have numbered. Nothing in your life is unimportant to me. I have followed you through the years and I have always loved you, even in your wanderings. I know every one of your problems. I know your needs and your worries. And yes, I know all your sins, but I tell you again that I love you not for what you have or haven't done. I love you for you, for the beauty and dignity my Father gave you by creating you in his own image. It's a dignity you have often forgotten, a beauty you have tarnished by sin, but I love you as you are, and I have shed my blood to win you back. If you only ask me with faith, my grace will touch all that needs changing in your life, and I'll give you the strength to free yourself from sin and all its destructive powers. I know what's in your heart. I know your loneliness and all the hurts, the rejections, the judgments, the limitations. I have carried it all before you, and I carry it all for you so that you might share my strength and my victory. I know especially your need for love, how you are thirsting to be loved and cherished. But how often have you thirsted in vain by seeking that love selfishly, striving to fill the emptiness inside of you with passing pleasures, with even greater emptiness of sin? Do you thirst for love? Come to me, all you who thirst. I will satisfy you, fill you, Do you thirst to be cherished? I cherish you more than you can imagine, to the point of dying on a cross for you. I thirst for you. Yes, that is the only way to even begin to describe my love for you. I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and to be loved by you. It's how precious you are to me. I thirst for you. Come to me, and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace, even in all of your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my acceptance of you, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless you and live my life in you. I thirst for you. If you feel unimportant in the eyes of the world, that matters not at all. For me, there is no one more important in the entire world than you. I thirst for you. Open to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life, and I will prove to you how important you are to my heart. Don't you realize that my Father already has a perfect plan to transform your life beginning from this moment? Trust in me. Ask me every day to enter and to take charge of your life, and I will. Promise you before my Father in heaven that I will work miracles in your life. Why would I do this? Because I thirst for you. All I ask of you is that you entrust yourself to me completely. I will do all the rest. Even now, I behold the place my Father has prepared for you in my kingdom. Remember, you are a pilgrim in this life, on a journey home. Sin can never satisfy you or bring the peace you seek. All that you have sought outside of me has only left you more empty. So do not cling to the things of this life. Above all, do not run from me when you fall. Come to me without delay. When you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. There is nothing I cannot forgive and heal. So come now and unburden your soul. No matter how far you may wander, no matter how often you forget me, no matter how many crosses you may bear in this life, there is one thing I want you to always remember, one thing that will never change. I thirst for you just as you are. You don't need to change to believe in my love, for it will be your belief in my love that will change you. You forget me, and yet I am seeking you every moment of the day, standing at the door to your heart, knocking. Do you find this hard to believe? Then look at the cross. Look at my heart that was pierced for you. Have you not understood my cross? Then listen again to the words I spoke there, for they tell you clearly why I endured all this. I thirst, yes, I thirst for you, as the rest of the psalm verse I was praying says of me. I look for love, and I found none. All your life, I have been looking for your love. I have never stopped seeking to love you and being loved by you. You've tried many other things in your search for happiness. Why not try opening your heart to me right now, more than you ever have before? Whenever you do open the door of your heart, whenever you come close enough, you will hear me say to you again and again, not in mere human words, but in spirit, no matter what you have done, I love you for your own sake. come to me with your misery and your sins, with your troubles and needs, and with all your longing to be loved. I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Open to me, for I thirst for you. Some reading, Mother Teresa's meditation prayer, and this can be gotten online through our Sunday visitor. But what a powerful statement.
Yes.
Doesn't that sum it all up?
Wow. I mean, I've read this over and over and over for months, every night. And, you know, sometimes it helped me fall asleep.
Yeah.
When I couldn't fall asleep. But, you know, I mean, listening to you read it to me right now is, wow. It's like better than some blood pressure medication I've ever taken.
You weren't sleeping, were you?
I wasn't sleeping. You didn't hear me snore.
Okay. No, I didn't. But you know, it's so important to realize God thirsts for us.
Oh, he tells us that all the time.
I mean,
we have to realize that that's what's happening.
I mean, how unbelievable was Mother Teresa?
And Father Langford, who wrote that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's approved. It has the imprimatur and everything else. You
yes.
know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how real it is. It just says, hey, I want to come into your life and I want to be one with you.
That's his universal message.
That's right.
Isn't that his universal
That's
message?
That's what our show is all about.
Absolutely. He wants to come into our lives in everything we do.
But you know, it takes an awful lot of praying. Look at the saint of the day.
Oh, yes.
Look at the saint of the day.
Saint
we have
Monica.
A special saint on our show every mm-hmm. day, Steve.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And this is Saint Monica.
It's going to be Saint Monica. And Saint Henry I have put off to another week. I promised Saint Henry, but we'll do him another time.
Okay.
Saint Monica is the patron saint of conversions. She is the mother of Saint Augustine. So Saint Monica was born in the year 322, a town in Africa. Although her parents were Christians, they decided to let her marry a pagan, and so she did. Not that she was so happy about it, but in those days, they didn't have much of a choice. If the parents told you were marrying somebody, you were marrying somebody. So when Monica entered, the person's name was Patridius, the person that she married. He was an official in the government. And when she entered his household, she had to contend with not only the husband, who was both immoral, unfaithful, but also a household full of servants who disrespected her and made rude comments behind her back. These comments, in turn, aided in influencing her mother-in-law, who lived with them, to turn against her. Through the years of emotional abuse, Monica never complained and even urged other women to respect their husbands. Because of her meek nature and submission to her husband, Monica was never physically abused by her husband. In a time of those days when women were constantly being abused by their husbands and showed that abuse with the marks on their face. Over the course of her marriage, Monica bore her husband two sons, Augustine and Navigus, and a daughter, Perpetua. Although she was not allowed to baptize her children, she prayed for her household frequently. Through her prayers, her husband was eventually converted to Christianity a year before his death, and thereafter constrained himself from adultery and committing the sins that he normally did. But she also prayed for her son, Augustine, who was flamboyant, enjoyed life, womanized, thought that he was entitled to all the good times that life had to offer. But she saw the damnation of his soul very clearly. And so she prayed for his conversion. She prayed for a long time. She prayed for 17 years. So when you parents are praying for your children, just keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. So, through Monica's despair of his, to Augustine suddenly decided that he was going to turn to Jesus. And Augustine made his confession and confessed all those sins that he committed throughout the years. And thus, he became a great theologian of the Catholic Church.
Doctor of the Church.
A doctor of the Church. Just by the prayers of St. Monica, just by the faithfulness of a mother, a humble mother, who saw the good in everyone, even a husband who abused her, her son who was a womanizer and committed all sorts of sins, she saw the goodness, prayed, and wouldn't give up. So today, she's the patron saint for difficult marriages, disappointing children, victims of adultery, unfaithfulness, abuse, and the patron saint of conversions. And so, this very short, brief biography of St. Monica is so inspiring and so forthcoming that we know there are listeners out there that are praying for their children, right, praying to bring them back to the church. True St. Monica, don't give up, because it will happen, even though it took St. Monica 17 years. By the way, I offer this to all the Monicas out there, all the mothers that are praying for their children. And I especially offer this to a special friend of a special friend of mine, whose name is Monica. And I just offered it to her simply because her name is Monica.
But well, let's continue on and pray for those children, that no matter what age our children are, we pray for them.
Oh, absolutely.
So many of our listeners have children who no longer go to church, and people who just don't come back, like you were, Steve. And we pray that they be blessed as you were, Steve, so that they could be drawn back into the presence of Jesus. I made a mistake on the song behind your reading.
I know.
And then I left This Is Jesus
okay.
play.
Yeah.
But it was perfect when you think about it, because Monica was listening to Jesus.
Yes, but you know what? Some things are not coincidental. They're preordained. Yes, I know you did.
I know. I was listening. I was saying, who's singing?
But anyway, I wanted to do St. Monica today so specifically because I wanted people to know that if you're praying, don't be discouraged. It took her 17 years, but look what happened. Her son not only converted, but he became a saint. Just like St. Monica.
And he cared for his illegitimate child all during the time
Absolutely.
That he was moving
yes.
ahead
yes,
with his
did.
Life.
He did.
There's a wonderful movie out on St. Augustine called Restless Heart. And if you go online, you can probably rent it. But it's a wonderful movie. And it talks about his life. And it certainly shows Monica.
St. Augustine, right? That is
St. Augustine.
I say Augustine.
Yes.
Augustine, you're
it's
right.
Augustine. But listen, that's not a problem because, you know, I said WGGB.
LMNOP.
You're not going to forget that. And we're not going to let you forget
that. Those things happen when you get old, you know what I mean? And we're old.
Steve, do you have anything else that you would like to bring?
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's all the tools that you have out there if you want to continue to increase your faith. And you know, coming back to church has been a great sense of community. You know, just being able to identify some of those faces in church. You know, you have a comfort zone. You know, if you don't like the 9 o'clock mass, you go to the 10 o'clock mass. You don't like the 10 o'clock mass, you go to the 1 o'clock mass. You know, there's maybe something that you may get out of one of those masses, and you just continue to find the one that could be a match for you. And
now, I know people who schedule their mass according to the person who's saying the mass, because they're in tune with that person's sermons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Question. You converted, not converted, but you came back to the church. You came back to Jesus. You came back to your faith. You were welcome back. with open arms by the church and by Jesus. Now you're here. What's your plan?
To continue. To continue to increase that faith. One of the things I was asked when I made my confirmation, I had given. Of course, I was asked by you to be here today.
I know you saw
to be here today.
You saw a little old man running after you, and you says, "Oh my God, what's happening now?"
Jeez Louise!
You're lucky he didn't tackle you. He did that to Elvis impersonator. Remember you tackled him?
He turned. He said, "I ran up the stairs after him," and he says, "This old man is running after me. This cannot be good."
But the Monsignor had also asked me to be a lector at church, so
excellent.
I am going to be taking a class. As you said, it's a day or two class to learn how to become a lector.
One day, it's probably going to be again in October.
So I plan on doing that. That's another way to increase, you know, my awareness, my spiritual awareness, together with, you know, increasing my faith. I'm also planning on taking a class. If you go online, you go to drvc.org, and it's the Diocese of Rockville Center.
drvc.org.
And you could just, you know, there's some classes like Bible study groups, how to understand the Bible, how to read the Bible. You could find out more about basic theology, a course in morality. It's just a chock full of information. I mean, it's endless how much stuff you could find out on there.
Sister Mary Alice Peel, who runs the Faith Formation Program for the diocese, and she has so many wonderful things going on.
And it's not just, you know, we're saying the Diocese of Rockville Center, but it's not just the Diocese of Rockville Center. I mean, it's all of Nassau, right?
Yes.
That's right. And Suffolk.
And Suffolk.
Yes. So, you know.
134 parishes. Am I right, Dr. Palmer? 134?
Right. And there's a day on the theology of the body that's coming up at the seminary in Huntington. And I forget the date. I don't have it before me. But I think it's the first week in August. It could be August 9th, but I could be off on the date. But that's a wonderful, wonderful program that extends and teaches Pope John Paul's concept of what marriage is all about. And it's a very good program. And we also know that in September, there's going to be a day at Kellenberg High School.
Absolutely.
By Shalom Media. And that day is going to, that's September 7th. And it's at Kellenberg High School. It's $40 for the day, but you're going to get lunch and dinner.
Yes.
Wonderful speakers from the University of Steubenville and charismatic people. Prayer, music, praise, a whole day.
Yeah. Well, there's also, have you ever attended a dry mass? Do you know what a dry mass
is?
Yes,
I did. Yes. And I've attended them several
times. I recommend that. I once a year, I think. I'm sure every church must have a dry mass and what that is.
I don't think so. But
no, not every church.
A dry mass is well taken if you attend it. You learn a lot of things about the mass that you actually never knew before. You learn a lot of things about it that you never even considered or thought about. Yeah, I think it's an excellent thing.
Yeah, I highly recommend that. And it's a regular mass.
It's a regular mass.
Stop
everything
it
is explained.
And ask a question right then and there. You know, why are you doing that? Why are you ringing the bell? Why are you making the sign of the cross on your head, your lips, your chest?
You know what? When you
why do you beat your chest?
When you say the Our Father, so many people nowadays say the Our Father with their arms extended. But under the new directive, you shouldn't have your arms extended because only the priest should have his arms extended. We learned that in the dry mass.
Right.
I learned that. Our hands should be in.
But I got news for you. I'm not going to change because I'm reaching
out,
buddy.
I know.
I'm saying, you come in here, God. And I look on my hands being out like the antenna that catches God. Inside of me somehow or other. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to be in trouble with the church, but I've been in trouble with
listen,
the church.
Well, listen, I mean, everybody has their own thing, right?
Yes.
Some people will take the host in their hands.
Some take it in the
mouth. And some are taking the mouth. So
we all have our own thing, but you're right about the dry mass. It's something well worth taking. Explains a lot of idiosyncrasies about it.
And I do want to mention August 24th. I know we're giving local stuff, and there's going to be a day of healing praying for healing through divine mercy. We have 80 people maximum, and we're up to about 71, 72. So we have a few spaces left that day. And you can get in touch with me at jpalmer@drvc.org. I work for the diocese. And
that's an unpaid commercial.
But also I'm unpaid. I'm a volunteer there too. But you know, any and all of these things are so wonderful because they open us to the power of God's love.
Well, I think
the power of His love.
Most people don't even know to take advantage of that site, that there's all that information on there to take advantage of. So I highly recommend going on that site as well as finding out. A proud father of a special needs child.
Absolutely.
His name is Tommy. Hi, Tommy. If you're listening, Daddy's loving you on the air. And
hi, Tommy.
We go to a special needs mass. It's the third Saturday of every month, except for the summer months, at St. Catherine's at 3 o'clock, the third Saturday. So we're trying to hope we can get the diocese to do something where within the churches, within the community, we can come work something out where it could be the first Saturday in one church, the second Saturday in another, a third on the third. So if you miss one Mass, you may have an opportunity to go to another one, and or you can go every week. So, interesting.
And occasionally I'll be at the Mass.
We're going to have to bring this to an end. Yes. And Trevor, can we run that number 2 again? Because it summarizes the program. The power of God's love. Steve, you're a wonderful guest.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
And you have a great speaking voice, and
yes,
I'm sure Jesus has a plan for you. Listen up. He'll tell you. Jesus is on
you. Can you
the
say WGBB?
WGBB.
Wow, you're going to be
listen up,
me.
You're on the air. With Jesus.
We'll see you next week, everybody.
Thank you for listening. We love you, listeners. We love you with all our hearts.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting
me. A pleasure.
Today.
Staff, management, or owners of WGBB.